WFSU FM now presents a delayed broadcast of the February 20th, 2019 luncheon meeting of the Economic Club of Florida. The featured speaker, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. This event took place at the Florida State University Alumni Center in Tallahassee. Now, to introduce the program, here's Economic Club of Florida President Cindy O'Connell.
So glad to have all of you here, and welcome to the 512th in our series of Distinguished Speakers Programs. I am Cindy O'Connell, and I am privileged to be your club president. Please silence your cell phones so that our program can go uninterrupted. And now also please stand and join our distinguished member, Admiral Rick Grant, in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Admiral Grant. As a reminder, WFSU is audio recording this program for broadcast on 89.9 FM, which will air next Friday at 7 p.m. Our next scheduled program will be Monday, April 1st, featuring Jesse Rosen, President and CEO of the League of American Orchestras. Before we get into member and guest recognitions and introductions, please note the information on your tables and the new member social we are planning. I believe it's February 27th. Is that right, Marion? February 28th. Marion Hoffman is our membership chair and our board member. Marion, would you stand so we all can find you if they have questions afterwards? Thank you, Marion. I would now like to recognize our sustaining members. I want to thank our club sustaining members who provide additional financial support to the club each year, and our past chairmen who are in attendance this afternoon. Could that one group please stand and be recognized? Thank you. Governor, in appreciation of your military service, the Economic Club of Florida would like to thank our members and guests in turn for their distinguished military service. Please rise if you have served and be recognized, and we thank you for your service. I would also like to recognize the special guests of Governor DeSantis today who are serving our state to grow our economy, whether through jobs, tourism, manufacturing, or trade. Allow me to recognize Mr. Ken Lawson, Executive Director of the Department of Economic Opportunity. Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Jamal Sowell, CEO of Enterprise Florida. Thank you, Jamal. Dana Young, CEO of Visit Florida. Frank DiBello, CEO of Space Florida. Michelle Denard, CEO of CareerSource. And our state's guest, Kenji Hirata, Consul General of Japan. Now it's my pleasure to introduce the head table. If you could hold your applause, please, until I've introduced the entire table. Beginning on my far right, your left, we are joined today by certainly a great Floridian, Governor Wayne Mixon. Governor Mixon served as the 12th Lieutenant Governor of Florida for Governor Bob Graham and its 39th governor. While Lieutenant Governor Wayne Mixon served as Lieutenant Governor, he also served as Secretary of Commerce and led missions throughout the globe, including Japan, to promote Florida products and services. The governor has served as club president in 1997 and 1998, and as chairman in 1999 and 2000. He is the 2014 recipient of the Economic Club of Florida Stan Tate Award, and is a devoted Gator, having received the University of Florida Stephen C. O'Connell Public Service Award. Next in the order of our next individual I'd like to introduce is Mr. Ash Williams. Mr. Williams is Executive Director and CIO of the Florida State Board of Administration. He is responsible for managing approximately $195 billion in assets, including those of the Florida retirement system. Prior to joining the SBA, Ash was a managing director at Fir Tree Partners and president CEO of Schroeder Capital Management. Ash is a former chairman of this club. Next, I'd like to introduce Mr. Ben Watkins. Mr. Ben Watkins is the current chairman of the Economic Club of Florida, but his very important day job, of course, is the director of the Florida Division of Bond Finance and is responsible for administering the state's bond programs. Ben is a past vice chairman and board member of the Municipal Securities Rulemaking Board, former chairman of the Committee on Government Debt for the Government Finance Officers Association, and an active member on a variety of muni board associations. Now, on my far left, again, a gentleman who requires no introduction in this town, of course, is Mr. John Thrasher. A Florida State University alumnus and former state legislator, John Thrasher is Florida State University's 15th president. He was elected as a speaker of the Florida House of Representatives in 1998, and he was elected again to the Florida Senate in 2009 and subsequently reelected. He served as chairman of the Republican Party of Florida in 2010. In 2016, President Thrasher was inducted to the FSU College of Business Hall of Fame. He currently serves on the College Football Playoff Board of Managers. Thank you for hosting us in this wonderful facility, President Thrasher. Next, I'd like to introduce Bill Gunner. Bill Gunner was a career political official in Florida, having served over 20 years as a United States Congressman, Florida Insurance Commissioner, State Treasurer, and State Senator. He was designated in 2013 by the Governor and Cabinet as a Great Floridian in recognition of his lifelong record of public service. He has also received the Stephen Z. O'Connell Public Service Award from the University of Florida. And finally, to my left, a lady with much grace, whose last name, maiden name, was Grace. I want you to just Margie Grace Mixon. Margie Grace Mixon from Graceville married Wayne Mixon in 1947. And the rest is a wonderful part of the heritage and history of our great state. A graduate of Florida State University and receiving her master's from the University of Florida, she was a lifelong teacher, 30 years long, both in Marianna and at Leon High School here in Tallahassee. She's an advocate for wellness, which is exemplified every day in her morning workouts and her fearless fight against breast cancer. She is the force in the wind behind Governor Mixon and the former First Lady of the state of Florida. Now, you may congratulate the head table. And now, as President, thank you for this opportunity. We're so glad you all came. I want to recognize Ben Watkins, our chairman, who will introduce our distinguished speaker.
Thank you, Cindy, and good afternoon, everyone. It is my honor and privilege to introduce to you, as in his coming out for Tallahassee, Governor Ron DeSantis. And Morton, not only is he the 46th governor of Florida, more importantly, he's my boss. Governor DeSantis is a native of Florida. He worked his way through Yale University. He also was, did not know this, captain of the varsity baseball team. Went on to Harvard Law School, where he graduated with honors as well. And during that time in school at Harvard Law School, earned his commission in the U.S. Navy as a JAG officer. Active duty, he supported operations in Guantanamo Bay and was also deployed in Iraq, where he served as an advisor to the U.S. Navy SEAL commander, overseeing operations in Fallujah and in other parts of the Anbar province. His military decorations include the Bronze Star Medal for meritorious service and an Iraq Campaign Medal. After his active duty, he served as a federal prosecutor and still serves in the U.S. Navy Reserve. He was first elected to Congress in 2012 representing the 6th Congressional District over on the coast near Jacksonville, where he fought for many conservative principles, including term limits, no budget, no pay. Maybe they should take a lesson from that today. While serving in Congress, he also refused pensions and a lot of the trappings and benefits to congressmen. So it is my, now we get to the really good part, the important part, and that is everyone here knows that behind every good man is a better woman. And I can attest to that with my wife, Joy, after 31 years of marriage. Many of you know her, and I've lived that for 31 years. Governor DeSantis is married to Casey DeSantis, who is an Emmy Award-winning television host and now the First Lady of Florida. And together they had their proud parents of two children, a daughter, Madison, and a son, Mason. So I would like you all to join me in a warm welcome for our new governor of the great state of Florida so he can share with you his vision for Florida's future.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Please sit down. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I appreciate the introduction, Ben. And yes, it is true, single out my wife. I'm convinced that this whole governor thing was just because the people of Florida wanted her to be the first lady more than anything. I thought back about what I was going to say, and I was reminded of a story where some of the founding fathers were arguing about the world's oldest profession. And Dr. Benjamin Rush, very smart, said, well, it had to be a doctor because Eve was taken out of Adam's rib, and that's how we started having, the human race. And Thomas Jefferson said, Jefferson built Monticello, and he was involved in that field. And he said, no, it's the architect, because you needed to be able to create order out of chaos. And Benjamin Franklin said, no, that is not right. The oldest profession is the politician. After all, who do you think created the chaos in the first place? And I thought about that because I think we're seeing today throughout our country how our states serve as laboratories of democracy. I think we're living through a real life experiment about what type of economic policies succeed and what type do not, or even counterproductive. And I think the story is, yes, bad policy can make things worse, and there are politicians that have messed up a lot of things, but I think good policy can really help facilitate good outcomes for communities and for states. And I think in Florida, fortunately, we are on a good trajectory. And I was many of you may have seen this in the news the other day, where the governor of New York was accusing Florida of stealing New York residents, because even though they raise taxes all the time, they have a $2.5 billion deficit. And basically the argument is people are fleeing to Florida, so Florida's. But I'll tell you, we aren't stealing anybody. He is driving them out with bad policies, and all we're doing is opening our arms. And so, and that is really, I think, the upshot of this. And yes, the federal tax bill, I think, was a very good change in terms of not allowing high tax states to have their residents deduct their state income taxes infinitum, because all that did was allow those states to raise taxes on the cheap effectively, and the taxpayers wouldn't feel the full brunt of those tax increases. By capping that at $10,000, obviously for middle income people, they're still taking it. But basically for upper middle and upper income earners, that's something that is a pinch. And so why would we want to incentivize states to do those types of policies? Better to let them live with the decisions that they're making. So the fact that Florida does not have say, a state income tax. That is a change that really was beneficial for Florida. I think it was good for policy generally, but certainly good for Florida. And so now we're really at a situation where people are looking at that in the high tax states. They're filling out their taxes for this year, you know, throughout the next month or two. And I think it's going to be the breaking point for more and more people. And so I think that that's good. We are seeing a migration of wealth, not just to Florida, to other states, but there are certain states that are driving people out. And then there are other states that are receiving this productivity, this wealth, and this creativity. And I think that we would much rather be receiving than driving people out. And I can just say this, as long as I'm governor, Florida will remain a low tax state. I think it's central to our success, and people shouldn't worry about that. And what I've talked about is, I think what you see with New York, Illinois, some of these states is, it's really a vicious cycle because they engage in a lot of expenditures that are not really sustainable. So in order to try to square that circle, they raise taxes and create, you know, bad economic policies on that end. But because they're raising taxes, they are actually narrowing their tax base. People leave. So they come up even shorter with trying to square the circle. And they really just can't do it. They're going to continue to go in this cycle unless they actually change their policies. Here in Florida, you know, my budget that we submitted had historic funding for things like Everglades restoration. We had over $420 million for bonuses for public school teachers. We had investments in job training. We fully funded the transportation plan, and yet we reduced property taxes by $300 million. And I'll talk a little bit more about some of the other things. But what we're doing here is, because we have a good economic environment, you know, we're working to expand our economic base. That allows us to do more with lower taxes because the economic benefits are better than what you would get in terms of revenue for the government, even if you raise taxes. I think the taxes would be counterproductive. And so the corporate tax, I did not put in my budget because, and I didn't realize this until I got in and started doing this, in Florida, once there's a certain amount of revenue, our corporate tax actually goes down automatically. And so I think that will be an added incentive for people to want to move investment into Florida. What I've asked the legislature to do on that is, when it goes down, let's lock that in. I don't want it to go back up. So if you lock it in down, we're telling people, yeah, come, it's even better to be in Florida. We also will, we have to remain a state that just will not have an income tax at all. I think that's why, one of the reasons why people like to come here. And that protects taxpayers because, you know, they're not constantly getting whacked. But it also protects freedom because you don't have to go through the compliance. You don't have to deal with government agencies, you know, for your income at the state level. And it also increases productive activity because the federal tax, income tax, is a drag on productivity. I mean, you're talking hundreds of billions of dollars worth of lost energy because of compliance with taxes. And so being an income tax-free state, to me, is a no-brainer. And so we will keep that up. Part of, though, in addition to the taxes, is what kind of economic and political culture do you have? And I think if you look at what just happened with Amazon in New York City, there is a hostility to some of these companies, political hostility, that I think mattered more than a lot of the other things that they were talking about. I know there's a debate about tax incentives, this, that, but I think it was beyond that. I think that this hostility to companies like Amazon, a lot of the financial institutions are consistently demagogue, and I just think that they're paying a price for doing that. So what I can say on behalf of Florida, for companies like Amazon, we welcome you to come to Florida. We also welcome institutions and companies in the financial and banking sector, whether it's commercial banks, investment banks, hedge funds, fintech, international financial institutions. I think Florida is a place where you can do well without having to face some of the political blowback that you see in other parts of the country. And so our posture here is one of welcoming, not one of demagoguery and hostility. We also have other hurdles that I think we can work on in terms of our economic opportunity. I had the first ever deregathon to try to look at how we can streamline our occupational licensing regime in Florida. If you look, we have one of the most oppressive regimes for occupational licensing in the country. And you know, maybe the argument is Florida is so much safer, our consumers are so much safer because we have that. There's just not any evidence that that's the case. And so I've asked all these licensing boards to produce ideas, and we're going through them now, how you can streamline this. To me, the only reason to do some of these licensing requirements is to protect the public safety and protect consumers. Creating a guild is not an acceptable reason to do it. And so we are going to look at, do you need to have 2,000 hours to in order to get a barber's license? Is that really good? If you only did 1,000 hours, would people be at risk? I think probably not. A lot of these states have no licensing at all for some of this stuff. And so I think you're going to see more opportunity for people when we move those reforms through the legislature. You know, we've had problems with our legal system here in terms of having too much litigation. We're always ranked very poorly in that. I know the legislature is working on reforming this assignment of benefits, which has really caused a lot of problems. And I just want to let everybody know I support that effort. I think that they should move that forward. And I think that that will bring some more certainty and will reduce some unnecessary costs on our economy. But it's interesting, when you talk to people in business, taxes usually aren't the most significant thing they care about. Obviously, if we were to raise taxes, there'd be problems. The regulation sometimes can be more, and you know, I want, you know, there's a role for regulation, but we don't want to just pile red tape on folks. And so that's something that a lot of people have problems with. But I think the biggest thing now, more than taxes and more than regulation, particularly for small and medium-sized businesses, is healthcare costs. Because it just keeps escalating more and more. Obviously, those costs also affect run-of-the-mill individuals, and it affects our state budget in terms of trying to get a handle on the costs that we have to do. And so I think it's a pressing concern. And after this, I'm going to be flying down to the villages to make a new announcement about a great initiative we have to lower prescription drug prices in the state of Florida. And I think it's going to be something that people will be surprised by, but I think it's going to be something that's going to make a very big difference. So I urge people to tune in today, later this afternoon. And I want to applaud our Speaker of the House, Jose Oliva, who is looking at healthcare costs as his number one priority. And I look forward to identifying ways where we can bring sanity to Florida's healthcare, because when you're doing that, you know, you're relieving burdens off individuals, you're also making it a better place to do business. And I think that that's very, very important. When you're talking about recruiting businesses to Florida, yes, people obviously look at the taxes, and I just started off talking about why people leave states like New York. But I think a lot of people get the differences in taxes, and I think that's significant. But I think one of the things that we can do here is really tell the story about the human capital that you can get by coming to Florida and the educational advancements that we've made over the last many years. Florida has, as our president here to my left knows, you know, we have the number one ranked university system in the country by U.S. News and World Report. We have the universities of Florida and Florida State have moved up the rankings dramatically. And when I was growing up in Florida, I mean, if you basically had a pulse, you figured you could get into Florida or Florida State. That is not true anymore. I mean, these are universities that are doing great things. I think a lot of people have done a lot of good stuff. We're going to continue. We want to see Florida State's ascent more. We want to see the University of Florida's ascent more. We also have other great universities who may not quite at that level, but have improved dramatically. And so if you want to be located in a state where you're going to have a talent pool, you need to recognize these facts and understand, you know, that our university system is producing an awful lot of talented graduates. And I would also add, probably the best bargain going in terms of the price that it costs. And I applaud Governor Scott for wanting to hold down tuition. I'm going to continue to do the same thing. So we have some good stuff going in Florida. We're going to continue to support the work of President Thrasher and some of our other universities, because I think as you look at growing an economy, the more people understand what's going on in Florida, that's going to open even more floodgates for us to attract more investment and more economic activity. When we started launching our education initiatives last month, we looked at where Florida, and I'm somebody who, they talked about my resume. I mean, I grew up in Dunedin, had never been to New England in my life, got recruited to play baseball places like Princeton, Yale, and Harvard, and ended up going to Yale. I was not something that I had ever thought about really doing until just a few months prior. I think I showed up with a t-shirt and jean shorts on my first day. The folks here may not understand it as much, but you know, with the Florida-Georgia game, that's one of the things Georgia fans would make fun of Florida fans for wearing jean shorts. And if it was a joke for Georgia fans, can you imagine what people who graduated from Exeter and Andover thought of me? I mean, I was just a total fish out of water. But, you know, I worked hard and got higher education, and I think that worked well for me in a lot of ways. I think it works well for a lot of our students at places like Florida, Florida State, and some of our private universities. But it's also the case that when I was told you have to go to a four-year college or else you can't be successful, you know, that's not true either. There's other ways where you can get advanced knowledge and skills. And so we looked at Florida being in the middle of the pack for career and skills-based education, and we set a goal to be number one by 2030. And there's a variety of things that we're going to do to be able to get there. Some students who have worked and come close to a bachelor's degree that just need a little bit more, you know, we're providing some incentive funding that we're calling a last mile program so they can finally get that degree. We also believe in reverse credentialing. If someone comes to Florida State and can't quite get that bachelor's degree but has done enough to get an associate's degree, we'd actually like to see that credential be bestowed. But we also look at things like apprenticeships and vocational education, both in the high schools and with our state college system, as things that can be integral in producing a really high quality workforce and expanding opportunities for our citizens. I've been talking with folks and said, look, I'm putting money into apprenticeships when I do it. A lot of these businesses are very interested in having high school seniors, people at state colleges go and train. It's good for them because they can start to cultivate a talent pool. So my goal would be that everyone that graduates a Florida high school would have access to an industry certification if they so choose to do that. And it's not mutually exclusive with college prep. I was at a school in Tampa where they were doing a lot of this in Hillsborough County. And one of the guys I was talking to has already been offered jobs at the Port of Tampa because he's in the welding program, but he's also taking AP courses and can go college if he wants to. So I think that that's a great thing. We want to work hard to improve our K through 12 system. There's been a lot of good things that have been done. I mentioned we put in requests for over $420 million to reward high performing teachers, and those bonuses would be equivalent of roughly 20% of their salary. So it's not just throwing a few hundred dollars. I mean, this is really going to make a difference. We are working to allow computer science to count as a science requirement for the kids in our high schools, and we're putting in money so that our teachers can be trained up on the latest computer science and technology. And I think that this is only going to be more and more important as the years go on, certainly for the foreseeable future. So we want to give our students the ability to learn and compete in that field as well. We're scrapping the Common Core standards. We're going to go for things that really have the confidence, I think, of parents and teachers across the board. One of the things that we're going to do more in Florida is American civics, so people understand the principles that make our country unique. I mean, there's more and more things where they'll come out about who can pass the citizenship test, and it seems like the results keep getting worse and worse, and particularly the lower you go on the age spectrum, you know, people who are 65 and plus do a pretty good job. As you get into more middle age, okay, but as you get like under 25, it just drops off a cliff. It's a total lost art in many respects. And here's the thing, you know, if we were a country where everyone was the same religious denomination or the same, there may be other ways to do it, although I don't know that that works very well. Our country, we're unified based on common principles. So people come from different walks of life, they have different ancestry, you name it, different religious denominations, but you believe in kind of those core principles that set America apart since its founding and have really been the animating principles for all the key moments in American history, I think. So if we're doing that and preparing people for citizenship, you know, I think that that will have a long-term benefit for people here in the state of Florida. I did made a big deal coming into office about tackling some of our environmental and water problems that we've seen persisting throughout the state. And the way I view it is, part of it is just the right thing to do because we got to be good stewards of God's creation. But part of it is, you know, the water is not like just some tangential thing in Florida. If we were in other states, maybe it wouldn't be as important, but it really is a central piece of what Florida is. It's one of the reasons why people want to live here. It's one of the reasons why people want to vacation here. So we've put historic funding for things like water quality projects and Everglades restoration. And I also just sent a letter to the president with Senator Rubio and Senator Scott asking for another $200 million a year for our water and Everglades projects. And I think if we get that right, I think that's really the foundation of why Florida can do well economically, and not just with tourism, but across the board as being a great place to want to live. And part of quality of life, in addition to just enjoying the environment, is being able to get around the state a little bit better. If you look at, I mean, I have sat in traffic here, but quite frankly, until you guys go to Miami or I-4, you have nothing to complain about. I mean, it is really bad in some parts of our state. And so I think that when you have, you know, really significant congestion, that creates problems. People can't spend as much time with their families. You also have lost productivity if you have to go 50 minutes each way just to get to work. So we fully funded the DOT work program in my budget, and my guiding principles for transportation are, of course, we're going to promote safety. We want people to be safe. We want to reduce congestion, and we want to get ahead of and welcome emerging technologies when it comes to transportation. And that means things like autonomous vehicles, which I don't know if that will be here in a couple years or 20 years, but eventually, you know, that's going to be here. And there's going to be other things that we're not even thinking about right now, because if we were meeting here 15 years ago, no one would have thought about Uber or any of these type of ride-sharing technologies. So I've instructed DOT, be nimble. Constantly be looking at what's on the horizon, and let's not get stuck in ways that may prove to be obsolete. And I would also note there was a piece in the Wall Street Journal today talking about how states with really high taxes, you would think, well, maybe the citizens are getting more in public benefits as a result of that. But it turns out some of the states with the worst infrastructure are states that have really high taxes and charge really high tolls. Florida, we rank, according to this article, one of the top five states in terms of the quality of our infrastructure. I think we need to do more because we're growing and we've got to do that. But I don't know if any of you have ever driven in a place like New York City. Like, if you were to just go around for the day, go to different places, you could spend over $100 probably on tolls. These bridges can be $25 a pop, and yet all the roads are dilapidated. I mean, I don't know where that money goes. And so I think being good stewards of tax dollars when it comes to transportation is very important, and we're going to work to do that. We also have the opportunity, if there is a federal transportation bill, which I don't know if there will be, but if you look at Washington, what could possibly, could they agree on? That may be one way to do it. And I've noted that Florida sends more to the federal government in gas taxes than we get in money from the Highway Trust Fund. So given that we have two senators that have a good relationship with the administration, given that I have a good relationship with the administration, maybe it's time that Florida come out on the positive end of that. And so we'll work really hard. And what we're starting to do is talk to stakeholders about what would be the vision for Florida to be able to provide to Rubio and Rick Scott in terms of what we would want to get back from a bill like that. And I think staying ahead of the curve will help us. We're a state that is known and for trade, and we got to continue to do that. I note we have Mr. Hirata here, Consul General of Japan. I want to thank you for coming, and I want to just let you know that as somebody who was on the Foreign Affairs Committee for 6 years in the Congress, I know that the people of Japan are great friends of the United States, and so we very much appreciate you being our ally, and we look forward to being able to find ways where we can increase economic ties between Japan and the state of Florida. So thank you. Because trade is important and because we have 84 different consulates in the state of Florida, I'm today going to direct our Secretary of State to meet with these consul generals on a regular basis and to organize a summit where Florida businesses and political leaders can meet with people like Mr. Hirata and discuss ways where we can improve relations and improve business ties. I think it's going to be a win-win for Florida. We already in the pipeline have a trip that I will be leading in May to the state of Israel. I had said that we wanted to bring Israelis not just to South Florida, where there's obviously a lot of cultural ties, but also bring people directly into Central Florida so they can enjoy the theme parks and whatnot. And I'm happy to report Al is planning on doing some direct flights this summer to Orlando. And if it works, they're going to keep it up. So we want to make sure people know about that, and we want to make sure that we're welcoming people from the most affluent democracy in that part of the world. Now, tourism, and I have Dana Young here, who's doing a great job for us leading Visit Florida, has been a bread and butter of ours for a long time. And I'm happy to report today that in 2018, Florida welcomed a record 126.1 million tourists into our state. And that's 8 years in a row we've set a new record. Now the environment is important for making sure people continue to want to come here. The transportation is important because people, when they come here, they want to be able to get around. But I also think we need to work hard to let people know that Florida is more than just, you know, white sandy beaches. Yeah, that's good. That's great. But, you know, rural Florida has a lot to offer. We have some of the nicest freshwater springs in the entire country. Well, the legislature has worked to help improve those, and I'm committed to finishing the job there. But you know, the great thing about Florida, I mean, you can go different parts of the state and have totally different experiences. And so some of the more rural experiences, you know, are more old school charm. But quite frankly, I think there's a lot of people that would like to have the ability to experience that as well. So we're going to work with Dana to make sure, you know, that becomes something that is better known to folks throughout the rest of the country. And then yesterday, we were able to welcome some of the folks involved with the space programs here in the state of Florida. I think, exciting what's going on in terms of commercial space. I announced yesterday that we formally asked the president to locate the new combatant command for space in the state of Florida. I think it'd be a natural place to do. We have places like Cape Canaveral where it would work very, very well. And so we're going to see, hopefully, you know, continued commercial activity. NASA is resurgent. I think they're back on a better track, and they're going to really try to harness this increased commercialization to fulfill their missions. But then to have the military component there as well, you know, that is a lot of opportunity, I think, for people throughout the state of Florida. And these are jobs that are really high paying jobs. And I've talked to some of these companies, and they're talking about our workforce initiatives. they're like, we want to do these apprenticeships. Send us people. This is really, really exciting. So, you know, we may be able to get to a place very soon where if you're going to high school in Brevard County and you're a senior, you can go to Blue Origin or one of these companies and work for a couple hours a day, gain credentials, but then probably get offered a job at the end of that. And so that's really, really exciting. And I think space is going to continue to be an important part of Florida's economy. So all in all, I'm very optimistic about the possibilities for our state. I think that we're a state that's on the ascent. I think that we are mindful of how bad policy can undercut economic momentum and undercut opportunities for people. And so we are making sure that we're looking to see what works and then plowing forward and plowing ahead with that. So I think the legislative session is going to be very good for us. Most of what I outlined here, I think we're going to have broad support in the legislature for, you know, environmental support, for educational reforms, and for doing things to be able to incentivize more businesses to come and locate to the state of Florida. So I want to thank you guys for having me here in Tallahassee. Casey and I have really enjoyed moving in to Tallahassee. Our kids love it because the house is a heck of a lot bigger than our old house was. Although, you know, when we were moved in, we had to baby-proof the mansion, and it was done. I mean, there's a pool where there's now a fence, the gates leading into the stairs and whatnot. But, you know, these young kids, my daughter's a little over 2 years, my son is almost 11 months, and it's just amazing. Like, they find nooks and crannies that you don't even think about, and you got to grab them and figure out a way to do all that. So, but they're having a great, great time, and, you know, we're very, very happy to be a part of the community, and we look forward to you know, to visiting with you all again in the near future. Hopefully I'll be able to come back in May and do a nice victory lap about what we've accomplished in the legislative session, but I think we're going to be able to do an awful lot. And so I think it's an honor for me to be here today, for me to be serving as governor, but quite frankly, tremendous opportunities ahead for us as a state. So God bless everyone, and thank you.
Thank you, Governor. We're going to hold you to that May date. I'm so glad that you could join us today. I think our lunch is adjourned. Thank you. Sorry.
A matter of personal privilege, I would like to thank Cindy O'Connell for really orchestrating all this. This is one heck of a woman. She made all of this happen. So please join me in a round of applause. We stand adjourned.
You've been listening to a Delight broadcast of the Economic Club of Florida luncheon meeting of February 20th, 2019. The featured speaker, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. This program took place at the Florida State University Alumni Center in Tallahassee. Join us again next time for another Economic Club of Florida luncheon meeting on WFSU-FM.